told you this morning that the next few weeks I was going to be preaching from Jay's book and try to preach through all his sermons. And before I complete my preaching here, and I hope you'll bear with me. Some of these you probably read, some of them I have preached here. And matter of fact, the one I'm going to use tonight, I have preached here before, but it is or was one of Jay's favorites, and he actually helped me. He put it in his book, but he helped me one night when we had a devotional, or I had a devotional I had to do somewhere, and I told him I wanted something that I could carry with me that would be visible, that I could hold in my hand while I talked to the young people. And we sat there in the living room, and I don't remember whether it was me or him. We looked over at the remote control, and I said, hey, that right there would be something everybody can relate to, is a remote. Matter of fact, just this afternoon when I was sitting there in the chair and studying and thinking about this lesson, we got a basket sitting between mine and Wendy's recliner, and it is full of remote controls. I don't even know what all they work. They work every box we got, ceiling fans, and also gas logs in the living room. So if you ever need a remote, you can come by the house. We got plenty to spare. What is a remote control? What is it? It's something that controls a television, a radio, as I said, a ceiling fan, gas logs. It's controlling something from a distance. So how do we take and how do we think? And I forgot to bring mine, so this is the little remote that we keep up here. And by the way, it was on when I got here, so I'm sure the battery is dead if anybody ever needs to use it. But we take a remote control and we can control something from a distance. So tonight I want us to think about a remote, and it's a very simple lesson. It's a short lesson, but what I want to do is spell out the word remote. And as Jay had written in his book, the hope was that any time that we see a remote control, and we see them very often, that we can think about our life, and we can think about our life in relationship with God. And when you spell it out, the first word you come up with for R is range. You know, we got to be in range. And my idea was to hit a power button tonight and say, I doubt I'm turning my TV on at home from this distance because I'm out of range. There's no way it's going to work. And then you think about how close you have to be to whatever you're trying to operate. It's the same way in our life, our Christian life. We've got to be close to God. Matter of fact, in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 8, it's a verse that Steve uses and I use, or at least we make reference to it a lot. It says, draw near, or draw nigh is what King James says, but draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So when we think about a remote control, we think about our relationship with God, and that's one of the things I told Jacob today when he called and asked what the sermon was going to be about tonight, and I appreciate him singing the songs that he did. We have to be close to God in order for it to work. How many times in life do we know of people, maybe even ourselves, that's going through difficult times, going through hard times, cannot figure out what's wrong in their life, and yet they're not close to God? There's not a problem that comes along that God cannot solve. There's not a problem that comes along that God will not see us through and help us to overcome. But we've got to be close to God. We've got to make that effort. We've got to make that commitment that we're going to do it. The second letter, which brings up the word energize. I got home from Chicago, or up north, this past Tuesday, I think, and Wendy and I were sitting there going to watch a show, and I reached down in this basket I was telling you about and digging through the remotes, and I needed the DVD player remote, and I pulled it up, and I hit the power button, and nothing happened. I hit a lot of buttons, and nothing ever happened. I said, well, this thing's dead. Batteries must be dead. So I turn it over and I take the back off, and the batteries wasn't dead at all. Batteries were missing. You see, what you do when you need AA batteries, you go through your remotes and you steal from your remote control, you put it whatever else you need. Well, I was sitting there trying to make something work that is no way it was going to work. Didn't have any power to it. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation. What do we need in our lives? What do we need to have the power? We need the gospel. We need the good news. We need the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It needs to change our life and help us to live the way that we should. So power is so very important in our relationship and our closeness to God. When we know the Word of God, and when we're living the Word of God, and we know the gospel, and we know what the gospel does for us, it gives us the power that we need. Well, the third letter, obviously, is M. And I remember, sadly, I remember some things, and some things I don't. But I remember when we were talking about this sermon, we had the hardest time with the letter M. What are we going to make M stand for? And we come up with mute. Mute. You ever hit the mute button? Sure we do. Phone rings. Actually, you hit pause nowadays, I guess, because you can pause about whatever you're watching. But you hit the pause button, or you hit the mute button. What does that do? It makes everything quiet so you can hear something else. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 with me. You know, it helps us when we think about mute in our life. It helps us to turn off the wrong sounds in our life. There's things that we don't need in our life. There's things we don't need in our heart and in our minds. We shouldn't be hearing, and it helps us to listen to the right things. But Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. In other words, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when we take these two verses and we go back to our last point, you see this all ties together. You go back to the closeness of God and you think about the power that He has. We have to understand that we have to take these things, the gospel that we talked about, that we're not ashamed of. We got to take it. We got to apply it. He says here that it's good for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We take those things and apply them to our lives. Then the next letter, obviously, is O. And if I start misspelling this, Miss Mary, you correct me. But it's opportunities. Opportunities. Sitting in a recliner today after we got done with the memorial service, going over this, I got to thinking about the opportunities I've had in my life. I can truly say I have been blessed. For the most part, I have enjoyed and been blessed most every day of my life. I have had problems in my life. I have been down some roads I don't even like to think about, but for the most part, I've had many wonderful opportunities in my life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Are we taking the opportunities that God gives us in our life? And then the next letter is T. And T is going to stand for time. Now, Jay had said in his book, T is for the time that my parents let me watch TV, I guess, that we guarded against when we watched and when we didn't watch, and we made sure that the important things were put in place and things like that. But what about the time that God gives us to devote for Him? If you remember in Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse 24 through 26. Jesus says, for what is a man profit if he could gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 28 says, verily I say unto you, there will be some standing here that shall not taste death till they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. there talking about the church. How important is the church to you? How important is worship to you? And how do we devote our time to God? And then lastly, E is for Jesus is there for you every time. Every time. Point being, if you've got a remote and you're in range and the batteries work and all things are as they should be, the remote is going to work every time. And even more so, Jesus will work every time for us. Paul said, "There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." A remote. A very simple instrument that we all have in our houses. But it can be more difficult when it comes to our lives. Are you a remote control? Is how he ended it in his book. Are you functioning as a remote control for God? It's something for us to think about, and I appreciate your attendance tonight, and I appreciate you paying attention to this tonight. If we can help you in any way, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian, the plan of salvation is a very simple plan, and I know most everybody in here is already a Christian. But I cannot end a sermon without going through the plan of salvation, because it might be someone that needs to be encouraged or needs to hear it one more time in order to obey the gospel. But the Bible tells us that our faith is what we start with. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us that we have to believe those things in which we read and which we hear. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he's the Word, and he became flesh. We have to be willing to take the things we hear when we believe it and make a change in our life. And that's what repentance is, changing your life, turning away from sin. Are you willing tonight to confess that great confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you're willing to, then tonight you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been unfaithful. You have something in your life that you're struggling with, something in your life that you need to change. If we can help you in any way, come while we stand and sing.